Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
There is over $1 trillion of waste in supply chains today.
The net zero carbon emission is something that corporates are taking very seriously.
To meet these objectives, they're going to have to take into consideration CO2 emissions.
Hey guys, welcome back to our next Fireside Chat. I'm Tyler Cole, the host of Net Zero Carbon, and I'm joined right now by John McCaw, Vice President of Sustainability Solutions at Breakthrough. John, how are you?
Doing great, Tyler. Thank you, and thanks for the opportunity to connect on this important topic.
Very glad to have you on the program. I've been a fan of Breakthrough for a long time, but back when I was working in the industry, it was 15 years ago, I just knew about the fuel recovery program. Maybe you can provide just a brief overview about everything Breakthrough offers now and your role in the organization.
Sure. So we have expanded beyond our start, which was in the fuel recovery program. We're providing solutions around our network intelligence product, which includes some optimization on the freight side. And then we've expanded with our Clean Mile product to deliver sustainability solutions for our shipper clients as well.
Excellent. And in your role, I'm sure you're keenly engaged in a lot of those conversations with customers, which is exactly what our audience wants to hear about today. So let's start with this. Let's start maybe a little bit of a, not necessarily a history lesson, but it feels different today what shippers are looking for when it comes to sustainability solutions. It used to just be only cost and emissions would be a nice to have. Now that feels like it's flipping or at least equalizing. Can you take us through a little bit of customer engagement, kind of the development of some of those trends that Breakthrough is seeing customers are asking for?
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, historically, the decisions around transportation has come from cost, capacity, and service. Recently and increasingly over time, we're seeing more and more of our shippers really factor in their emissions of a movement into every one of those decisions. So in that it's happening on a macro basis. It's happening at different levels with different shippers, but a very consistent trend with our shipper clients that sustainability is impacting how they're making their decisions moving forward.
Are you seeing customers, and sorry, you can start throwing out examples as you come across them, we'll talk through them, but we talk all the time on the show, and listeners have heard others in the Fireside Chats talk about the importance of getting the data right, having a good baseline, understanding your footprint so that you can make some of these decisions, and really operationalizing some of that data you just mentioned around load level, SKU level emissions that are going on in your network. What are you seeing on the data side with customers where Breakthrough comes through and helps them?
Yeah, so that really is the most important first step in the process, right? Load level emissions tracking. And we're, because of our relationship with our shipper clients, we already see the vast majority of their movements, right? It's already flowing through our system as part of our fuel recovery program. Because we have that visibility into their existing transportation movements, we could then, really understand where their emissions hotspots are, understand and map out their entire network and what the emissions intensity is across different lanes, across different movements. And because we have that extremely granular level of data, we can then get into very specific prescriptions on how we can help create a plan. So, depending on what the shipper's goals are, we can then, develop a plan working in partnership with shippers and carriers to come up with ways to reduce those emissions. And there's a variety of ways to do that, many of which don't come at an on cost, right? So I think one of the common misconceptions that we run into is if I'm going to do anything with sustainability, it's going to be an increase in cost. And that's just not the case. There's a lot of things that can be done to reduce emissions without increasing costs. And so we're helping our clients identify those things and plan their long-term roadmap as well, right? So here's what we can do in the immediate time frame. Here's a longer-term roadmap of where we think things are going.
Exciting. And we'll get to some of those specific solution sets here in a minute. And I do want to talk about the carrier side of the fence as well. But before we get there, just shout out to you guys. I know it's not too recent, but accreditation through the GLEC certification as an approved tool for benchmarking emissions. Excellent job. Love seeing that. Can you talk a little bit about that partnership and how valuable that is to shippers?
Yeah, we think it's incredibly valuable. What the GLEC framework does is it creates sort of a normalized approach to tracking emissions in supply chains. So the organization, the Smart Freight Center organization, and the GLEC team specifically have done an excellent job in really creating the foundation that the industry can build upon. So our Clean Mile product is a GLEC accredited tool. And we just, you know, we think shippers and carriers, frankly, are smart to adopt the GLEC framework as a part of how they view emissions tracking moving forward.
Super important to normalize and just make available that data, be able to access it and exchange it freely. Definitely encourage people who aren't using it to get on board because it makes life a lot easier. Talk about the data one more time for me. So if we're getting network move level data, are we getting primary data from carriers or are we still using averages based on either region or fuel type or lane, distance, activity data? Talk to me a little bit about the granularity.
So, you know, primary data is the end goal, right? So we believe very strongly that getting access and sharing that primary data is a fundamental part of the future. Today, you know, the industry is not there yet, right? So we are modeling energy consumption, you know, at the load level based off of equipment type and all the variables that factor into energy consumption as part of a freight move.
Super helpful and encouraging, and ties back to what you said earlier, which is, you know, everybody wants to be net zero tomorrow, and everybody thinks that's going to cost an arm and a leg. But perfect can't be the enemy of good here. So we do have good, consistent data that we will use. And we do have tools that don't cost an arm and a leg today that we can continue to promote. So talk to me a little bit about maybe even some examples for customers that are implementing different emission reduction activities.
Yeah. So great question. You know, we've got a number of clients that are doing just incredible things when it comes to managing their emissions. And we're blessed to have some real trailblazers and leaders in this space. You know, one example, we've got a food shipper client who recently implemented a policy change, right? So they used to make decisions on over the road versus intermodal based off of a 15% reduction in cost. In other words, if they could move the freight via intermodal and save 15% or more on cost, they would make that change. What they've done is they shifted that lever down and they've said, well, now if it's cost neutral or better, we'll make that change. And they made that change because, you know, converting intermodal can have a significant impact on emissions reduction on a freight move, right? So that's one example of just an internal policy change that a shipper has made to reduce emissions. Another example, you know, we've got a CPG client who is out and they're proactive with working with their carrier partners on piloting and testing alternative energy equipment. They've got hydrogen tests coming out later this year. They've got EV tests in market right now. So they're out there, they're creating these pilot programs, they're building the basic understanding of new technologies with their carrier partners. In the interim, they're embracing renewable diesel and renewable natural gas as excellent ways in parts of their network, in specific areas and specific geographies, to, you know, manage their emissions right now, right? And so, you know, there's just so many different ways and so many different tools that shippers have today to to manage emissions and do it cost effectively. And that's what we're helping our shippers identify. What are those opportunities and how, what's the impact from making some of those changes?
Yeah, having that visibility into not only modal shifts, but which regions, which carriers operate, which types of fuels are available is super valuable, because the research in many cases has already been done. It's about finding the right partners who know what's in market and can actually help you deliver it. So I'm glad you called that out. And you called out something else interesting there around intermodal shift and that 15%. And when I hear stuff like that, I hear that's a seemingly really arbitrary number to determine when we'll go through the effort to make that shift. Because it's not, you know, it's not just flip a switch. Sometimes you've got to do some work on the operational side to make sure you can handle that. But you're also adding time in most cases by going intermodal. So it's really interesting to hear the value of the emissions rising to a point where if we're cost neutral in some cases, we're getting enough pressure where we just got to do it. So we'll figure out the service, we'll figure out the operational piece. That's encouraging, but also super interesting change in the market.
It is. And we're going to see more of that going forward. You know, a lot of our shipper clients are in active conversations with their customers on changing buying mechanics and changing buying behavior to factor in emissions reduction opportunities as part of those fundamental customer relationships, right? So it's, you know, emissions is really starting to impact how companies do business.
Yeah. Really, really interesting. I'm curious, we talk a lot about network design. We talk a lot about working collaboratively with your suppliers and your fleets. A lot of those require consistent heavy lanes of volume, right? You've got to have a certain amount of volume to justify some of these expenses that you're going out to decarbonize. There's other lanes that we don't expect to decarbonize soon that are spot lanes, light volume, things where they're too long for EV, there's no renewable fuel available. When customers think about both of those type of scenarios, consistent lanes versus maybe more spot, how do you help them create a long-term plan for kind of the whole network, right? Because it does take all of it to bring the average emission down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that is the advantage of having that very granular data set. It's also the advantage of having, you know, north of 150 large shippers on our platform, right? So we actually, you know, we can get some benefit from scale and, you know, just macro volume there. So, you know, we really do look at everything on a lane by lane basis, right? So that load by load tracking and measurement flows up to a lane by lane basis, not only for a shipper, but what if we expand it to multiple shippers on a given lane, right? So we're doing a lot of that optimization modeling, helping our carrier partners then identify what some of those opportunities are. When they have alternative energy equipment, how do we make sure that we're driving as much utilization as possible from those investments, right? So some of our carrier partners have been unbelievable and very progressive in how they're thinking about, you know, helping to move the industry forward, right? So we always talk about the fact that it's going to take industry collaboration to drive this change forward. And that's a fundamental part about how we think about our role in the ecosystem as well, bringing people together, leveraging our platform in that way.
I'm glad you mentioned carriers there too, because obviously none of this happens. The shippers can want all they want, but if the carriers right. aren't willing to go invest, sorry, guys. Talk to me about how you guys work with the carriers. And is there a typical kind of first mover fleet profile? I imagine it's larger fleets that are well capitalized yeah. in the most part that can invest in new technologies. Just talk to me about that relationship with carriers and how you bring them in the conversation.
So we've done a bunch of different things with carrier partners, some total cost of ownership analysis to help them understand, you know, if they're looking at CNG equipment, right? So if, you know, new Cummins engine, does this make sense for us to invest? So we're helping them understand sort of those impacts and how do they model out, you know, that decision, right? We're also helping them, you know, connect the dots with you know, freight movements on shippers, you know, on a spot basis. Maybe it's dedicated where we can find a partner to create some leverage on a backhaul, et cetera. So there's a bunch of different ways where we can help connect those dots. And like I just said, you know, really maximizing the utility from the equipment, right? And, you know, the other key point is, you know, we've learned a lot about alternative energy equipment, and we're going to continue to learn more over time. But making sure that carriers understand maintenance and all the various ramifications, how to manage an alternative energy fleet using best practices and with partners who can help execute.
Super good. That brings me to another question, though. Going back to the legacy of Breakthrough around the fuel recovery program, and we talk about alternative energies, how are shippers thinking about managing surcharges for alternative energies, especially when we get to a point where no one knows what a kilowatt hour converts to in a per mile rate? Is that conversation happening?
Yeah, conversation is starting to happen. I mean, you know, when you talk about electric, it gets really interesting because, you know, it may be the shipper's own facility that has solar installation that is, you know, ultimately the source of the energy, right? So doing those conversions when it comes to alternative energy, you know, it gets really interesting. And you know, one of the things that we think, you know, our platform does moving forward, we're going to be able to measure energy effectively in a fair way between carrier and shipper. Alternative energy types have different carbon intensity factors. So incorporating all that nuance, incorporating the difference in electric from a solar source versus, you know, other types of energy sources with a different carbon intensity profile, it's all incredibly important, right? So, you know, when you do things at the most granular basis, right, you're going to get the most value out of those investments and the best understanding of how to manage your emissions reduction programs moving forward. But you're exactly right. It creates a lot of complications.
Well, you guys are well suited, though, to be able to handle a lot of those questions just with your ownership at US Venture and a lot of the energy profile that company has in different business units that it operates. So, you know, it's a great setup for you guys to be able to come in and help a customer start to map that journey, really understand the differences, because many fleets can't offer that at the scale y'all do. And it's just a great intelligence platform. So, you know, kudos to you and the team for putting that together.
We feel very fortunate to have our partnership with our sister companies under the US Venture family. Our clients, we've got, you know, shippers that are incredibly progressive. We've got carrier partners who are, you know, seeking out ways that they can help move the industry forward. So, you know, we feel like we have a chance to play a role and help lead the energy transition. And we're blessed to have a team of partners that we're working with to make that happen.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate that perspective. We're about to hand it over to the host and run out of time, but I want you to give us a takeaway for the listeners, maybe from a shipper perspective and a carrier perspective. And I'll front run you a little bit and say, we can't say measure, because that's table stakes now. Everybody should be out there measuring their emissions and reporting them. What would you encourage a shipper who's not really started their decarbonization journey and a carrier in the same
way? You said it. You said it in the question. It's get started. It is time to start taking action. There are opportunities to not only understand your emissions, but start making emissions reduction right now. We could do it, you know, and oftentimes save costs as well. I do think now is the time, and we're seeing an accelerated rate of change when it comes to shippers and carriers starting to, you know, explore emissions reduction opportunities. We're excited about the future.
Let's go. So are we. Thanks for stopping by and sharing your insight and customer stories with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, FreightWaves.
Take care.
There is over $1 trillion of waste in supply chains today.
The net zero carbon emission is something that corporates are taking very seriously.
To meet these objectives, they're going to have to take into consideration CO2 emissions.